flame of an inventive war, forevermore at peace.
Welcome, everyone, to the Peaceful Planet Show with your show host, Marcia McMahon. And we have a wonderful program arranged for you this evening. And we'd first of all like to thank Robert Murray and James Murray, his son, of The Stars Still Shine, for providing the inspirational music as channeled and synthesized from Spirit from the Other Side with Michael and the band, and also the Halfbeats, John Lennon and George Harrison, who overlight our show each and every other Saturday on the Peaceful Planet. So this evening's show brings us something very unique and wonderful, and I'm going to start out with a message from Archangel Michael and some of my announcements, and we have a wonderful guest. Her name is Dr. Jean Logan, who is a conscious channel of the light. And she brings in sacred symbols and glyphs that are healing in nature and power. And she's a wonderful person working on behalf of the world's children, as I do. So this show is always dedicated to bringing in a higher awareness of the angels and masters and guides. And I have a special message from Archangel Michael, whom I channel and I also do readings with. And I'm going to bring that through in just a moment. I also want to make you aware of an Angel Awakening class that I'm teaching online this coming November, with one in-person meeting, and then the rest of it will be online, and it's starting November the 11th. It's called Angel Awakening and Intuitive Development. It's also all about angels. So it starts with session one. It's approximately a couple days of training tailored to those that practice angelic Reiki. And I'm an angelic Reiki spiritual teacher, and I'm a Reiki master. Session one is the history of angels and art, including a DNA activation. Session two is beginning to sense and see angels and exploring your spirit guide. Session three is the hierarchy of angels and soul groups and archangels. And then session four is practice with energetic codes of the archangels. And then you can reach me to sign up for the class through the email at Marcia Dai, M-A-R-C-I-A-D-I, as in Diana, 2002, at yahoo.com if you're interested in getting a mailer on this course. Also visit my website at dianaspeakstotheworld.com. And I have two new books out. Notes from John, Messages from Across the Universe, and that's by Marcia McMahon. It's on that website where you can get a signed edition, or you can go to Amazon. And then also I have an ebook with Archangel Michael titled Ascension Teachings with Archangel Michael. Now, also for our audience this evening, we're going to open the lines, and that's going to be opened shortly after I read my message from Archangel Michael and for our guest, our wonderful guest, Dr. Jean Logan. And the number to call in after I'm done reading the message is 888-627-6008. And I am a gifted archangel lady, and I will be glad to do a very mini reading for you. Or you can query our guest about her work with the sacred symbols of light. So without further ado, I'd like to bring in Archangel Michael, who's standing next to me and overlighting our show, as well as the other Sanded Masters that I work with, including Princess Diana. And tonight's show is dedicated to the Divine Feminine and those that are working in the spirit of the Divine Feminine. I work with Princess Diana on a weekly message of world peace, and Dr. Jean also works with the Divine Feminine as I sense her vibration. And she's working for the upliftment of humanity through these sacred symbols, and she works with underprivileged children in different parts of the world through her non-for-profit. So this is dedicated to work that I've done with Princess Diana, and this is Archangel Michael speaking. I, Archangel Michael, send you peace today and this evening for you and myself. I am guarding and protecting your show, The Peaceful Planet, surrounding you in light, as well as I'm protecting America and the electoral process from the higher realms. And we urge peace and understanding among all people everywhere and encourage the development of democracy in other countries. We find ourselves in a difficult and divisive situation with the two candidates for president. As I correctly predicted, these two candidates would be the finalists in January of this past year in Marcy's messages. We urge discernment in selecting a president, which is a very high office, it needn't be repeated, and a very dangerous position and indeed to be in. While we don't attempt to shape or form the opinions of others, you do need new leadership that is honest with integrity and willingness to be inclusive in your general society. We need and ask light workers that have leadership skills and possibilities to gradually step forth and reshape the society as a whole, because America is the spiritual leader of the world, and America needs to come together on issues of race, religion, and spiritual oneness, and in general, stop the divisiveness. Those self-proclaimed egomaniacal leaders in other countries, often called dictators, are something to be avoided, and so be careful not to elect one on this presidential election. I give you my warning, this could well happen, and we wish only fairness and openness in a leader that will include being open to diplomacy. Princess Diana has reached all presidents up to this point through my channel, and she wishes to continue to aid the Earth in this way. And so, therefore, we urge a leader and a president whose values are humanitarian nature and values the equality of education for children and new energy sources and technology, as well as working diplomatically internationally without defensiveness, which could only trigger a possible disaster for Earth. We are working along with the Galactic Federation on preventing just such a disaster, and we have prevented disasters in the past. We support this light worker in her mission to reach presidents through Princess Diana to prevent outright terrorism and, as more, lift up women and children the world over. For this is the era of the Divine Feminine, and the Divine Feminine will have her say, I guarantee you. This is the collective of the angels, Archangel Michael, and my legions, along with Archangel Raphael and Gabriel, who watches over the Middle East with great care. So, what a message, and that sets a note of peace for the show this evening, and we are opening some phone lines if you'd like to call in, ask our guest a question, or you'd like to ask me a question about my work with Archangels or with Diana. And that phone line again is 888-627-6008. And while I've announced that, I'd like to announce also our featured guest, and we're so happy to have you with us. Dr. Jean, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I want to thank you for inviting me.
Oh, well, thank you for coming on the show, and I'm going to briefly read your bio, and then we're going to delve right into all of your great work on the symbols of light and how they work and how this process got started. So Dr. Jean is a conscious channel of the light for over 12 years, and she receives symbols and codes that are amazing little powerhouses that can transform health, life, and well-being. Dr. Logan is an ordained minister, has a doctorate in nutritional healing, and has an extensive knowledge of many types of alternative healing. She is the author of Unlocking the Power of the Glyphs, Sacred Symbols of Light, and Symbols of the Dawn. Recently released, she released Sacred Symbols and Healing Cards. Her books are now in over 80 countries, with all the profits going to provide services to indigenous children. Her books are available through Amazon.com or and or her website at Dr. Jean Logan, GEANLOGAN.com with the DR in front of it. We're honored and privileged to welcome you to tonight's show, Dr. Jean, and I can't wait to get started. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'll make one little correction. That's Jean with a J, J-E-A-N.
Oh, yes, that's what I meant to say. Pardon me. It was just a, a slip of the tongue, whatever. Okay, so Dr. Jean Logan, and that's spelled with a J. And you were originally working in nutritional healing. And how did you happen to transition into your the glyphs? I read the introduction to the book, and I think everyone listening would be more curious to know what exactly is a glyph.
A glyph is a symbol that has meaning. You think like the hieroglyphics, like the drawings on the temple.
Exactly.
It's just just a small, a drawing of any size, or drawings on the caves in the southwest by the Indians. That's a glyph.
Correct.
And we're talking here about a small one drawn on a piece of paper.
Yes. And I was an art history professor, so I particularly resonate with your work. And I was always fascinated with the ancient cultures and the ancient symbols. And, of course, the hieroglyphs had so much meaning built into them. And I think, if I'm reading you correctly, your glyphs contain a lot of meaning and a lot of energy, just like, for instance, the Eye of Horus did in the ancient hieroglyphics. So a glyph is kind of a symbol that's kind of a mixture of language and symbols all together. Is that how you would define it, or do you have a simpler definition?
You know, that's exactly. It's a language of light. What I do is a language of light. The glyphs bring light in.
They're
powered, and they when people use them, it literally brings light in.
Now, I'm an artist, and I paint, and I'm happening to be working on a painting of Archangel Raphael at the moment, and that's all being channeled in. So I will get you, and I have to say that I've also experienced the power of the art just vibrating and sending out a particular vibration. So I think your symbols also do that, and when I connect to your books or I use one of your glyphs, and I've used quite a few of them for various ailments, you know, and all I get is a strong vibration of light and love, and it seems to uplift me. Actually, I've had downloads of energy just laying on them. So tell us more about how this evolved and when you started to create these symbols and how you switched out of your regular field into this field. I'm just curious how you made the transition, if you can give us a little bit more background.
I was fascinated by glyphs. And I want to say that I was not one as a child. I wasn't one who could see and hear spirits or anything like that. Quite the contrary. I was a very frightened child, and fear really dominated my life. So much so that, like, for example, when I graduated from high school, I was given an opportunity to have a free college education, and I turned it down because I was afraid I would have to get up and speak in front of people. And my whole life went on like that. I grabbed the first man who asked me because I was afraid no one else would want me. And
course, and you're so beautiful and gifted. Oh, I can't imagine.
So I kind of wandered my way through life doing the best I could. But and being one neurotic attracts another one, so I was in an alcoholic marriage for 20 years because I was afraid to get out. And I gradually worked my way to some sort of a balance, although I was terribly depressed and fearful. And then, like I say, I was attracted to glyphs. At some point, I was meditating. And during the meditation, I saw a writing on a blackboard. And I felt it was telling me to try guided writing. So I took a notepad and I went out on the deck and I tried to empty my mind and write what came in. And first page was just gibberish, but by the second page I was getting something meaningful. and that became my beginning of guided writing. And the glyphs actually came later. I just started channeling my guides, and then as time went by, I can remember one day I was standing in the kitchen, and I thought, I wonder if God would speak to me. And I heard very clearly, well, of course I'll speak to you. And I ran and grabbed my notebook. I always write what I get. And I got one very simple page of very simple and plain but very profound. And that became my beginning when I would communicate with Source. So when I did get the glyphs, I was able to get guidance from Source.
Yes, and I confirm that that's the way my spiritual channeling began. I had a stressful job teaching art, and I had a lot of people to manage and a lot of situations to have to face and 300 or so people to teach each day. And I would start out with a journal, and I would ask my higher self, what did I need to do to get through the day kind of thing, you know. And it's amazing because I would get these answers, you know. And I did note in your book that you would also have a prayer that would go along with your symbol that you would get.
Well,
so,
okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was fascinated with this idea of glyphs, and one day I received an email from somebody, and it had a glyph in it. And the glyph looked like a drawing of a centipede, and it had kind of a squiggly line around it, and it said that this glyph would remove parasites from our body that held fear in us.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, fear was a big thing with me, so that really excited me. And I printed it out and cut out the glyph, which ended up being about 2 inches high. And it said, use with integrity, and I wasn't sure how, but I thought I must have been guided to put it against my solar plexus. And no sooner did I do that when I felt a tremendous commotion in my liver, just like something jumping around in there. And after
you had some parasitic activity in the liver, perhaps.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so afterward, I tried it again later, and nothing happened. So I thought, well, I don't know. I guess I had it, and I think it's gone. And so I asked my guides. I thought, whoever could give that much power to a drawing on a piece of paper, I can do that. I mean, we can all do that. God has given us all the power. So my guides told me, I said, well, I told them, please tell me how they did this. And they said, you simply just decide what you want the glyph to do. Draw your image and then have a ceremony. And in the ceremony, you invite in all the beings of light that you can think of to assist you.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I did one for joy and energy, and I didn't really notice any results. But then a friend called me, and she had taken her dog's glass drinking bowl out of the dishwasher when it was still hot, and without thinking, poured cold water in. And when she did, it broke and split all over the floor, and a piece went deep in her foot. But she did manage to get it out. But this is 2 weeks later, and it was badly infected. She said it was even had a foul odor to it, and she wanted to know what to do, that she didn't want to take antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked her if she'd be willing to do a little experiment, and that I would create a glyph to see if we could resolve it, and she said she agreed. So I created two glyphs, one to kill bacteria and one to speed healing, and I emailed them to her. And the next morning she said, wow, she said, these glyphs are working. She said that the pain is gone, the swelling is gone, the redness is gone, and it was on its way to healing. So that began my first success of a glyph. And I realized that the reason that I didn't have this joy that I was looking for in a glyph is because we are holding so much emotional baggage inside of us.
Oh, yeah.
So,
okay.
So I started, my first glyph I created then was one to remove fear. And when I took that glyph and put it against my solar plexus, I could feel, literally feel, stuff being drawn out of me. It was coming out of my arms and out of my breasts. It was just very fascinating. I'm very sensitive to energy, which is, I guess, part of what my programming.
Yeah,
right.
So it's removing the fear as you lay the glyph on your solar plexus. And do they always have to be on the solar plexus? Because I've used your glyphs on the back of my head or, you know, the back of my neck if I have pain there.
It
you
depends
know,
on what it is.
Region.
When I start with the, when you're just starting out, I recommend using the one to remove all the emotional. I went on to create one to remove anger, to remove sadness, to remove heartache. I just went on in shame and guilt. And I think to start out, the solar plexus is a good place because it's kind of the body's grand central station.
It is.
But
yes, I agree with the Reiki and everything. The chakra of the solar plexus is in the belly button there for those that don't know what we're referring to.
The solar plexus is actually where the rib cage comes to an upside-down V. Right there, but where it, and then the navel is often one that is used also, depending upon what it is. For example, ancestral healing is one where the navel is used. The glyph is placed on the navel. And so,
the first book that didn't it address the emotional aspects of healing? And
right, the first book mostly was
called.
Right. I did mostly the emotional healing, and then I did one to remove, to detoxify the body. Now, like when you use one for the detoxifying, I take a strip of four. In the book, each glyph has a header page with a large picture and explanation, and then it has a patch page, which has 16 of them on it, of the same ones. And you might use, like, I would take four of the detox one and four of the ones to remove parasite and tape them with some soft medical tape under my rib cage on my right side. And when I did that, I could feel it drawing stuff out of the liver.
Oh, okay.
And also,
see, I did notice them, and I thought they were quite beautiful, and they looked something like a patchwork quilt. And I wasn't actually guided to use them in smaller sections, but now I get your idea. I was using the whole glyph, but I started out with the very glyph that you spoke of in the Sacred Symbols of the Light, with that little glyph that was sent to you that corrects the DNA, and I thought that was a powerhouse of a thing, too. I really enjoyed using it, and I was picking up little sparks as I was working with it, and I've had it under my pillow for quite some time. So I'm counting on it to work. I love this. But the vibration, it's all about energy and vibration. Isn't all healing just energy vibration?
Yes. This particular one, this glyph that I've got out of that email, it had a woman's name, Judith Moore.
Yes, and, I noticed that,
Right, and so I called her, I sent her an email, and I was guided to get a reading from her, but I didn't hear from her for several weeks, so I just continued to create these glyphs. But when I did, she did contact me, and she said that I came in to bring in this language of light. That bringing in these glyphs was my mission, why I chose to come here.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a fascinating, best reading I've ever had. It was just totally fascinating.
I just looked at the reading, and I read it in reviewing your work about an hour ago, and I thought it was amazing. And I was going to say, too, that I felt that I was getting a lot of priestess energy with you. And I was being shown some other past lives, one in Egypt and possibly another one in Atlantis too. So you usually when we've, you know, you've worked with another person, probably I've been able to tune into some of these lifetimes of yours too. So I confirm that, and I feel that there's other past lives that you maybe haven't looked at, but I loved her reading. It was powerful, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And now a couple of people have told me I studied under Thoth in Egypt, and at the time,
see,
I didn't have a clue
Egypt.
Who Thoth was.
Yeah. Well, he was one of the great ascended masters. I don't personally work with him, but I've worked with Serapis Bey, well, who is another great teacher of the mystery schools in Egypt. And I've also had a lot of lifetimes. So it's possible we had a lifetime working alongside one another.
I have no doubt.
Yes. And I pick up priestess energy for you, Jean, too. I just want to throw that in. And that's
absolutely
probably Atlantean, because I was an Atlantean crystal healer, too. So all these people are incarnating again right now to, I believe, and I'm sure you do, you confirmed it through that lady's reading, that this is being brought forth right now to help heal the planet in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's pretty powerful stuff. And you're like me in a lot of ways, because you're also in the Bible Belt, and you're in the heartland, and you're surrounded by farming people and backward people that don't always get it. And it's, like, very hard to get the message out, and I really admire that.
It can be a lonely life.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I found that I need that solitude and the quiet of nature in order to really do my accuracy of the channeling and write the books and do the art. And I'm happier that way. Now, I do go into the cities and I speak, and I do to go to conventions and I host retreats and so on. But, you know, it is hard when you're living in the heart of, you know, the heartland, and you're out in the boonies and so forth. And anybody else like that knows about you, it's like you have to almost keep your identity a secret in order not to be persecuted, you know? That's kind of crazy, isn't it, though? Yeah.
You don't want anybody holding a cross up in front of you.
yeah, God forbid. And, yeah, I presented a program in the local community on the vegan healthy lifestyle this week, and there were some ramifications because I used the word organic, eating only organic. It's like, oh, my God, how backward are we here, you know? I had to laugh, but it is a challenge, and God forbid they should find out that I'm an angel channeler and everything. I just don't say too much because, you know, if you want to be heard at all, you know, but I don't know if I want to be heard.
We should speak out more, and I was told that I would be, you know, I would face
too.
Ridicule,
yeah.
and just deal with it. So I am a little more open than I was before, and I have neighbors that they know what I do, but they're Christians that you know, think I'm a little weird, but they do invite me to their gatherings, so I'm grateful for that because I'm not ostracized.
That's how I feel, because I have something to give to the local community, and I always believe in giving. So that you can put something out there, and they can be made to understand a little minuscule amount of what you're all about. But I think, you know, for your own protection, you have to be careful and selective in terms of what you tell the general community, you know, because...
Right. So, anyway, my second, after I was worked on this, I really only was using these for myself. I never intended to write a book. That was the last thing I ever wanted to do.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
And
right.
I kept feeling better and better, and the depression left, and the fear seemed to be subsiding very slowly because I sure had a lot of it. And so I would meet people, you know, somebody who was a psychic, they'd say, I'm getting that you should write a book, and I kind of ignored that, and then I'd meet somebody else and say, you know, I think you're supposed to write a book, and so then my guides were telling me, yes, you're supposed to write, put it in a book. And when I first started, I just did this on little 3x5 cards, and my husband said, he said, you know, you can't do this. He says, you've got to get organized. And so he started putting them in the computer. And I'm very grateful for that because he created what's called a Holy Ground Farm Glyph Gallery. And he's the one who made the little patch pages and created all this.
Oh, really?
If it were not for him, I could never have written a book.
Well, bless his heart. So this is the second husband, I take it.
Second husband, yes.
Yeah, so you have support in your relationship now. And
we divorced later on. We had a purpose for being together. He built the house here where I am in the mountains, and he pulled together all the work. But sometimes people aren't always best off living together. We worked well together, but as time went by, I think I needed, he was very controlling, and I think I needed to be on my own 2 feet for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so we parted company, although not, he still continued doing the work for me. Right up till until he became ill last year, he continued to support me in my work.
Well, bless his heart, because he obviously had faith in you. So did he have a personal story or something that transformed him with your sacred symbols of the light? Or
I used the glyphs on him all the time, but I would have to put them on. He, you know, I was kind of like a nursemaid type thing. You know how women are.
Yeah, I do that with my husband. I administer Reiki and such because they don't seem to know. Some men, I shouldn't say all men, because a lot of men are great healers and psychics and whatnot, but a lot of men are kind of shut down, and they don't even know when they need to take it easy or have a Reiki session or do something to help themselves find inner peace again, you know. So that's nice that you were, you know, serving him in that way and that he was serving you in that way, and it all works out. So I'm looking at your title, Sacred Symbols of the Light, and it's got a world behind it, and that's got all the glyphs around
it. That's the second book, right.
Beautifully designed. I just love the cover. I think I'd like to own the hardback. Now, tell our listeners where you can get a hold of your books. Are they on Amazon?
Mm-hmm. They are on Amazon. They're at Barnes & Noble. And I don't know what other bookstores might be. It's part of whatever is part of Ingram. And, of course, I can get them on my website, which I offer the better price than Amazon does.
Mm-hmm.
And the second book, after I did the first one, I thought, well, that's it. But then the glyphs kept coming, and I would have issues, like I had a serious heart condition, and I wrote a glyph to heal my heart. And whatever different things would come into my life, and I would write a glyph to heal myself. And I had a really scary heart situation. I would get chest pain so bad that I would think I'd call somebody and tell them because I was afraid if I had to go to the hospital, I have dogs at home that I would, you know, needed to be concerned about.
Have to leave, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why I would want to go to a hospital. I wouldn't want what they do to people who, you know, have a heart.
I agree.
So I created the glyph to heal the heart, and from the time I started using it, I never had chest pains again. And I had mitral valve prolapse, and that also disappeared as time went by.
See, I've had a little bit of that all my life, and I take a little bit of medicine for it, and I always wonder, this morning I thought, I think I'm going to skip that medicine. And then I thought, oh, better not, you know. But, you know, it's funny that you should mention that because I'm going to try the heart glyph on myself.
Yeah, now for that.
I know you do go off the medicine, you have to go off very gradually.
For that glyph, I take that and wrap it in a soft cotton cloth like a piece of an old white T-shirt and put it behind my bra strap. So you put it on the back of the heart chakra. Heal the heart through the back of the heart chakra.
And I suppose you could sleep on that as well, since if you sleep on your back, you could just sleep on the paper, correct?
You could just put the whole page so you make sure, you know, as you move it, you don't... and there's one, like the one for to remove blocks to abundance. I've had different people. One man said the day he got the book, that night he had a dream that told him to take the whole page of the 16, put it in a protective sleeve, and put it under his computer. Now, I was told to put it under my pillow.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends upon what you're doing. And other people put it in their wallet, and they've had great success with it. But I always caution people. I said, use the emotional healing glyphs first, because the biggest block to abundance is fear. And so you should... anger is also a block to abundance, so it's good to use those other emotional healing glyphs first.
Well, I think I'm going to go back to the emotional healing glyphs as well, now that you speak of it, and they're more or less highlighted in the first book, the unlocking the power of the glyphs. Is that not correct, Jean?
Yes, right. The second book gets more into the physical things, and I encourage people to do the emotional healing first, because emotional issues are at the basis of all physical issues.
Mm-hmm.
So heal the emotions first. And the second book, I had one to heal the eyes, and my ex-husband had glaucoma and cataracts, and it healed both of those for him. But
I've been using that glyph, and I have it under my Reiki table. So I go on the Reiki table, and I have a little biomat, too. And then I have it under the neck part, which would be corresponding to the eyes, roughly. And I have glaucoma, and I'm counting on it to work for my eyes.
The one for the eyes, you might want to read the instructions. I was told for him to put it on the back of the neck where it connects to the where the skull connects to the neck. There's a slight depression on each side, and I was told to put it on each side for him. And also under his arm, which may sound strange, but I think it probably is acupuncture meridian points.
Yes, and you know, as you described, that's exactly where I had it. And I didn't read that part in the book. I just put it there intuitively. So that's very interesting. Right under my neck, as a matter of fact. So we must be on the same page, so to speak.
Now, when I put it there, I could feel energy moving up and down my spine at the time I did it. Although I didn't have any
eye problems.
Now,
I'm going to use the one that you have in the book for nerve damage, because I've had, I've had cancer and I've had nerve damage from surgery to my right hand. And the right hand just isn't really totally functional, even as we speak. I can move it, but it's totally numb and there's permanent nerve damage. And it's a very difficult issue because I'm disabled as a result of it. But I still managed to write using the Dragon Speak, and I still use my brushes, but I've tried in all different ways using naturopathic remedies and so on, and supplements to regenerate some of the nerve function, and it just hasn't happened. My angels told me it may not happen, but I never give up, I don't know.
Right.
I'm going to try the nerve damage one, even if it improves it slightly,
The muscle damage, too. I would use the one for muscle damage.
Yes, I was being led to use that one, too. So we're going to pause here for a brief moment and listen to Remarkable Diana, and then we will come back and open the phone lines, and then discuss some more, and hopefully we'll think about getting some callers on the line. So we're going to play Remarkable Diana for a little pause, and we'll come right back.
Thank you.
And we're back, and that was Remarkable Diana as channeled by the late Robert Murray. And Remarkable Diana is inspired from George and John of the Half Beats, who are overlighting our program each and every Saturday that we air. We do air every other Saturday, and we're back live speaking with Dr. Jean Logan about her marvelous work, Sacred Symbols of the Light and the Glyphs. And you can call in and ask Dr. Jean a question or ask me a question at 888-627-6008. And so we're in the last 15 minutes or so of the program, and I just want to highlight how impressed I am with this concept of the Holy Ground Farm. And if you could illumine us to your charitable work that you're doing there, Dr. Jean.
Well, I take the profits from the books, and we were working in Nepal. I mean, we're working in Nepal right now, and we were working in Peru where we were running a daycare center, supporting a daycare center down there.
How wonderful.
And now we're supporting an orphanage, two orphanages in Nepal. Plus, it's a very sad situation there because education is not free. If you're poor, you get no education. There's just only people who have money. And so the remote villages have no schools at all. And so we hire teachers for some of the remote villages and also feed them something at lunchtime.
Wow, that is so amazing. So, you know, I gave to the Nepal earthquake, and I have friends in that area, and I regularly give, and I'm starting to form a peace and healing center with the same concept. But backing up just a bit, how did you come to get 78 acres donated to your Holy Ground Farm? That's so cool.
Well, years ago, we were looking for some mountain land, and we were guided up here. We saw there was an auction by a utility company that were auctioning some surplus land, but we came up here, and that was totally ridiculous, the auction. And so we just went to look at some, and we looked at this one piece. It was 160 acres and two parcels. And the woman, her husband owned it, and she didn't care anything about it. She just wanted to get rid of it. So she offered it at a low price. And we offered her even less, and she took it. That really surprised me. I thought that she'd be insulted, but she took it, and we had to buy the whole thing, though. And the other part is on the other side of the road from where I am. I'm on about 103 acres here.
Wow, how beautiful. So it came to you, and it was by divine appointment and intention, and then the idea of creating the Holy Ground Farm, I imagine as you worked with the glyphs, you decided to donate the proceeds of the book to these various charities.
Right.
And then in time, you're planning to have a retreat center there or some sort of center for the children, or what are the plans?
I picture that in my mind. I really didn't know what it was. I thought, who are these children? Why do I see this big building with these children here? And I didn't know if they were from other countries or whether they were from here. And then I worked with an autistic boy next door, and I realized I felt like that it would be special children that needed special help, because the answer is not drugs. And so these children can be helped.
Absolutely. I've heard that even when you change the diet of a child that has a learning disability, that you can help that child a great deal more than all of the drugs that they put them on the minute they suspect something is wrong. I'm amazed at the number of teenagers that I've had coming in to help me that are all on antidepressants and things like that, and there's nothing wrong with them that I can tell. You know, it's like terrible, you know. And I worked with
that is terrible.
Years.
That is, I mean, the glyphs would work to be so much better.
Yeah.
The glyphs.
So now, with nutritional healing, do you still work in nutritional healing at all, or have you gone completely
glyphs? No, that just turned out to be the direction when I went back to school. And that just was a direction I took because I've always been interested in nutrition. But I feel like when we have a center, it will definitely be, you know, we will be feeding them the proper food for healing.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I'm a big nutrition nut, and I eat a vegan diet, or I attempt to eat vegan, I should say. I'm dedicated vegetarian, at least, you know. And
right.
I profoundly believe in the healing power of diet as well. But, you know, being an ethical person, I don't believe in the killing of animals either. But
right.
It's interesting how your journey has just expanded your personal healing, and it's expanded the healing of the world. And that's so corollary to my work, too, because my work has to do with Princess Diana and the angels and reaching America with these angel messages and then giving back by founding a Peace and Healing Center. So I definitely want to stay very much in touch with you and follow your work, because it seems to have all coalesced around your books. And that's just, it's very hard to sell books, and especially illustrated books. And these are in color, too, so I'm very impressed that you could get these books published, and they're in 80 countries. And are they translated into other languages? Or
the first book is
maybe
translated into Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Unlocking the Paraglyphs, yes, that's in Spanish.
Yeah, and I'm going to go back and look over the emotional healing glyphs, too. And I'm just so excited about these, and maybe I'm going a little overboard with my glyphs because I have them all over the house, but when my clients come for a Reiki session, they are going to see your book sitting around with the glyphs, too. So,
well, I tell people there's no wrong
them.
Way to use them. There's no
yeah,
wrong
way.
Yeah,
that's true. And
although,
it's a great message. Go ahead, dear.
Yeah. If you're using too many, you would get woozy. That's about the only thing that's ever happened, is that if you could get woozy. One man said he put 5 on the back of his heart, and when he got up out of bed, he almost fell over. So that's the only thing you have to watch for, is because you're
me.
Moving
I
energy.
I tend to go a little overboard with my projects, too. So I collect a lot of essential oils, and I've got art projects all over. So, yeah, I do tend to do that. So, yeah, but I started out with just that DNA glyph that you got, and I've used it under my head, under my pillow. And it has to do with DNA, which, you know, having had cancer, I want all my DNA corrected. And I've done some sound healing with our Archangel Metatron using the tuning forks, too. So I do different dimensions of healing as well. But correcting DNA is a very, very important thing. And a lot of it does get, you know, messed with by toxins in our environment, for sure. So I think that's an important glyph, and I love the energy of all your glyphs, and I've got them scattered about, and I just have to tune in a little bit finer and figure out which ones I really want to work with as I go. But
do you douse?
I think I would recommend them to everybody. Pardon me?
Do you douse?
Oh, yes, I have a crystal that I use, you know, a pendulum, and I use that on my clients. And I also, yeah, I saw your charts in the book for the dowsing.
Right, it does
too.
Have dowsing
yeah.
charts. And it, although it doesn't, mm-hmm. one doesn't have to use those. For example, one time a woman had a friend who her dog was very ill. He was just couldn't even lay down. He was just shaking. He was in such a terrible shape, and she didn't want to take him to the vet because the vet wanted to put him to sleep. He felt that dog
oh, no.
needed to be put away.
Yeah.
And so her friend doused, and she was told to use the detoxification glyph on the back of the kidney. And then she did that and put some rescue remedy on his feet and got him to lay down. And a while later, he got up and got some water. It was the first time he drank water in a couple days. And the next day he was hungry, wanted to eat, and she took him for a walk, and he was feeling much better. Now, if I were just guessing, I would have used the antibacteria glyph if I were just guessing. But you could use both. And so if you can't douse, you can just take a couple good guesses or ask for guidance and just open the book and see what comes out. But
that's a good way to do it, too, because I do let my intuition rule me, but I have such a curious mind that I'll I'll try anything kind of thing, you know, and I've got your glyphs all over the place. But I love them, and I think they're just so charming and interesting and ancient and powerful at the same time, you know. It's just really great. And, you know, your work with the Holy Ground Farm and the work you do sending money over to Nepal and also to Peru, it's so very needed. I've familiarized myself with that area of the world, knowing some people from Nepal who are very sweet and kind and wonderful people. And, you know, it was just so devastated with the earthquake and everything else. And it is true that the children don't have much over there. And our children are the world's future. And I think, you know, part of the whole ethical approach to being a light worker is that you have to do something not only in your writing and in your inspirational work, but you have to do something, and I that's why I so greatly admire your work, is to ground your ideas and make them reality. And so that's where I really strongly resonate and respect your work, and I give you a big applause for that. I wish I had more callers, you know, calling in and asking about your glyphs, but this will be made available as a podcast in a couple days for those that weren't able to hear the program. So I just think it's so fine that you're able to ground enough to make this, the marriage of heaven and earth, I'd like to say, and that's kind of my goal for my work, too, is getting the inspiration, and then using the inspiration in a grounded way. So it's really commendable.
Now, I wanted to mention on Facebook, if those who are on Facebook, we have a page called Holy Ground Farm where
we
show pictures of the children.
Yeah, I did see that on Facebook, and it's lovely. So you're on Facebook at Holy Ground Farm or at Jean Logan.
And also Unlocking the Power Glyphs. There's another page with...
Unlocking the Power of the Glyphs. And so we're going to close out, and we're going to play a song in honor of the children you serve in Nepal. And it's I want to thank you again for being a guest, a wonderful guest on the Peaceful Planet show. And I hope we'll stay
in
touch,
Marcia,
because you're a personal inspiration to me, Jean, and all that you're doing and all that you continue to do. And how you manage to get the message out in your area inspires me to get mine out in my area. And it's so impressive and so wonderful. Check out drjeanlogan.com, and we're going to close out the show with the song Long Road to Nepal in honor of our guest Jean and the children she serves in Nepal. Thank you again so much for joining us on the Peaceful Planet. This is show host Marcia McMahon. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another wonderful guest and some readings on air. So thank you again, Dr. Jean. It was a true pleasure
to have you.
Thank you, Marcia. Bye-bye for now.